this episode of Report This Post.
Hello to all of our wonderful, beautiful, handsome patrons. Welcome to the latest bonus episode. My name is Geiger, and that is Christian.
Hello again.
We're your hosts with The Post. I believe it was Ferguson from Clarissa Explains It All. That's what I seem to remember.
Who is Fergus?
Clarissa, we're going to look up the cast for Clarissa Explains It All. We were just talking before we went on. Don't know anyone named Clarissa. And you would think after the show, the name would have popped up at some point. But apparently not. Clarissa Marie Darling, her brother Ferguson W. Darling. I think she may have called him, she would call him a Ferg Face, Ferg Wad, or Ferg Breath. He was a young Republican, which was a fun trope in the early 90s, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Now you couldn't do that because they would be, people would think you're making light of a fascist. You had Sam, the neighbor, good guy, had the fun guitar riff when he came up the ladder. The mom, remember Clarissa's mom? She was a real piece.
I don't remember.
Canadian.
That explains it. You know what? Who else?
That explains it all, doesn't it?
The woman who voices the mom on the show Bluey. That you and I love so much. Yeah, check that out. Check out Bluey's mom.
Bluey mom.
Voice actress.
Voice actor. Yeah, voice. Bluey is a show for babies.
It's really good, though.
And it's surprisingly good. Because it's Australian.
And they make good stuff.
Melanie Zanetti is the name of the mom. No, not your type. Well, there's some pictures where she has a head that's just way too, like, look at the forehead in that one. It's a lot.
Okay, that's a big forehead.
It's a cone head vibe, but then there's others where
she has bangs.
That looks good, but it also looks like it's face apt. You know what I mean?
Just very surprising to find out what the folks voicing your favorite characters look like.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that. She looks a little...
No, she looks a little young. She's got a tight little bod on her.
She's 36.
Yeah, she's
March 20th,
age.
1985.
Yeah, she's ready to get bred. That's right.
Well, she ready to get some puppies thrown in her, huh? Is that what you're saying? Speaking of, last week we talked, you just got married.
That's right. Yeah, it's unfortunately been a real whirlwind romance around here. Yeah, old Priscilla, we got married there, and things went downhill real quick. She kind of took over the joint, started really bossing me around, didn't take too kindly to that. So she had her three goon daughters just kind of carry me out, and don't live in my own house anymore, so... My wonderful co-host here, Geiger, has allowed me to crash in the Moon Room Studios over at his place. It's real nice. It's great. It's right off the kitchen. Easy access.
You're sharing a crate with my puppy.
Yeah, me and Jackie Jr. We're becoming fast friends, and I'm thinking maybe I'll give it a try with him this time because there's just some spark there when we're spooning together, licking the same Nylabone.
Oh, yeah. Chewing one of my hats he ate the other day.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this my guy God. Sucks, man.
I'm telling you, just give me the dog.
I've told my wife this several times. Like, Christian's offered. She's like, I can't. I'm like, I don't care what you can't do.
One day I will just show up. The doorbell will ring. The dog will be there with a big bow on it. And I'll see you shambling back to your car.
Shambling, good lord. How about just walking back to my car? I have to be shambling.
You know what? You don't waddling, shamble. You don't walk. You don't walk. You just you stroll.
Fatly walk. You should just be ugly and fat.
You're a stroller because when you walk, if you're wearing a hoodie, you do the hands in the pockets, right. Tight down, and yep. you just stroll on. That's what you do.
I'm like Bill Belichick. You know, I'm focused. I'm a legend. Yeah, this dog just like puppies like to chew on things, and he'll. Yeah, the other day he just like. I mean, there was one time where my wife, like, went outside to put laundry in the, you know, in the washer, came back in, and he was on the dining room table, like, eating crumbs off the table. Like, within seconds, he just got up there. He's very hungry, that dog.
Yeah, he's very hungry, and it sounds very well trained, too, so.
Yeah, I sort of gave up on training, because I hate
him. Yeah, no shit. No shit.
Yeah, I kind of want him to fail at this point so I can make fun of him.
That's how we raise our dogs and our kids around here at the Report This Post offices. We're just looking for big L's all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That way we can report to you, our lovely listeners.
Oh, boy. These Bud Light seltzers.
Soda, hard soda, boy. They're not kidding.
Oh, they are hard. I'll give them that.
Harder than I've been in a while, I'd tell you that much.
5%, only 100 calories.
There's got to be something to it, right? Because
they hold those calories hard, I got to say.
Yeah, because a normal beer is what, 4.7?
What do you mean a normal beer? What are you talking about?
Let's say a Bud Light. What's a Bud Light?
ABV-wise, you're talking now. Probably, 4.5, 4.7. Calorically, it's probably around...
96?
It's probably around 100 as well. This feels a lot thicker than that.
See, that's the thing that's really weirded me out. It says no sugar, but this does seem very syrupy. And
we have water, cold fermented cane sugar.
Okay, so no sugar.
But then it says there's zero sugars in it. So maybe cold fermented cane sugar is a weird ass type of process. Cold fermented cane sugar.
So are they literally just like seeping the sugar out of it?
I'm thinking, well, cold ferment, that just means the sugar has been fermented by the yeast. That's how you get alcohol. But there's still going to be sugar left over. Man, who knows? Like the evil fucking scientists at Bud Light Laboratories. Whatever they concocted here.
And you know the guys that are making this shit do not drink it, don't drink at all, and are just the worst, just teetotaling nerds ever. So,
which is probably how the company is successful, because
oh for sure,
the breweries that I've known to be most successful on the smaller side, but actually grew to be quite big. The guys in charge started drinking a lot less as they got bigger. And the breweries where the guys get drunk all the time don't tend to go a whole lot of great places.
And how would you classify the brewery you work for?
We're going to see how it goes. First of all, I don't like you telling the people that I actually work. So that I don't want them...
Oh, sorry. Folks, send in your handouts.
Yeah, I don't work at all. Why don't we read some damn posts while we're here?
He doesn't work. He just texts me and tells me to do stuff. That's all. That's what his job is. Hey, I found this recipe on a... Well, nope. Sure didn't. I found this review of a brownie recipe.
So you did find the recipe, to be fair.
That's true. The recipe was gifted to me. This has been my go-to brownie recipe for 30 years, even after going to baking school. I agree that using the best cocoa possible makes a difference. These days, I use Calabot. In the 80s, an acquaintance in Germany to whom I brought some of the brownies and who considered herself a great cook asked for the recipe, was never able to make it work. She kept asking me what she was doing wrong, and I was never able to solve her problems. Eventually, she moved to the U.S. and stole my husband.
Oh, okay. That's a very German thing, it sounds like.
To steal someone's husband?
Well, the whole idea of the Hausfrau brownie recipe that eventually involves the stealing of a husband.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know a lot of German people.
Hey, brother. You're looking at one right here.
Well, I mean, we both are genetically, but not culturally.
There's certain German things culturally that I agree with and support. You know, but I guess you're right overall.
No, I work with a German. I work with a couple German guys. I work with one of the heads of my HR function is a German guy who used to, he grew up in the circus.
Okay.
But I believe they would say Zirkus over there.
Okay.
But
a little stank on it, huh?
I put a little, yeah, put a little.
An English on it, which yeah. is.
Weird to think that some kid that got born in the circus is now responsible for my fucking health insurance. So that's cool.
Yeah, circus people shouldn't be near any of that stuff.
Yeah, they should probably be put into camps or train cars.
Don't know what you're talking about exactly. But my dad was very, very German. And mainly culinarily speaking, he would eat sauerkraut out of a can just sitting on the couch.
That's just a treat for him?
And like Vienna sausages just pop in his mouth.
Oh,
like
well, you've kept that alive then, for sure.
I do. Well, today, I mean, I've had sardines every day for at least a week now, I'd say.
You're back on the sardine
back
kick?
Back on the sardine kick. I found the brand I like that I can't think of the name right now, but...
Is it Prince Albert?
Nope. You could probably just tell me what it is and I wouldn't know. I don't think it's Prince Albert, but I'm such a marketing guy. When I see the wrapper, I recognize and grab it. Don't even know what the hell it's called. Don't sure. care. I just sure. know it's going to be the type of sardine I like. Now, once Aldi stopped selling theirs, I was in a dark spot.
They brought the bumblebee in.
And there's stink. They fucking stink.
Now, what do you do with the sardines?
I literally almost wrote a letter to Aldi. Like, I was like, what the fuck happened with the sardines?
You know what? They
got some sort of contract with Bumblebee or whatever.
For sure. I mean, when I was a kid and I used to shop at Aldi, my family shopped at Aldi, and it was considered like a poor. That's like where you went when you were poor,
right?
Was Aldi, and then they. I remember when they started selling Coca-Cola 2 liters, and my mom was like, "Well, this is the end of it. The prices are going to start going up." And I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about, you dumb bitch?"
Oh,
but then yeah, over time they have started introducing more and more name brand stuff, and
yeah,
the prices have gone up. But I'll tell you what, I do love a good Aldi trip. It's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, you could still get your essentials dirt fucking cheap. And they still have the cheapest meat in town, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. But what do you... That's what I want to ask you is, what do you do with the sardines? You just eat them out of the can straight?
Literally, yeah. I've never done anything else.
See, I like to mix them in with stuff. I'm a big food bowl guy. So maybe I'll put a little rice in a bowl and then maybe some like roasted veggies. And then just dump the can of sardines in there and just mix it all around. Maybe add a little sauce to it, depending. And then I'll just eat that.
I'd probably enjoy it, but it's just not the sardine experience, you know?
I can appreciate that.
Actually, now that I think I took... I feel like I added a can of sardines, one of the lesser brands, to like some clam chowder or something like that.
That's an interesting...
So
give it a little bit more... Zip
a little more seafoody sort of vibe to it, yeah. But sardine to me is this is a little snack. So open it up; it's like 150 calories, tons of protein.
It is a ton of protein. Yeah. That's
and eat it over the sink.
You gotta eat it over
because
the sink.
If I spill even a drop anywhere in the house, my wife will shoot me in the head with a bazooka because she thinks the whole. The whole sardine thing is insane.
Disgusting. It is pretty gross.
I have to do it when she's... It's like... Yeah, it's my little daddy treat. I can't do it around the family. I remember once my young boy, 2 years old, he saw me eat one. He came over. He's like, he's like, ah, right here. So I gave him one. I was like, let's see what happens. And took like 2 bites and then the look of disappointment and sadness on his face... As he spit it out on the floor. I was like, yeah, I hear you, pal.
It's so funny. The older you get, the worse the food you eat and you like is. It really is. Like,
I was a real picky eater as a kid. Like, to the point of, like, we would have my dad do a big pot of spaghetti, big sauce, just cooking all day, and I would have to, like, strain out every chunk. I could only do the sauce. Like, I would have everyone would get theirs, and then I would have to go last because it took 10 minutes so I could strain out every fucking thing.
Now, and by that point, they're just all, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm just throwing every fucking thing in the pantry and the spaghetti sauce. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, who cares? I love a slop. I've thrown sardines into omelets before. Don't care.
I get it.
Just slop it up and make it nasty, and it all turns into shit.
I'm a slop guy for sure. I could do a trough of food, no problem. Whenever I see, like, you ever see those, like, those, like, disaster preparedness kits? They just sell, like, a big bucket full of food. I'm like, brother, I was like, man, if I had that in the house, I would crack it open, just start eating it.
You don't have to tell me. You don't have to, because I used to, back in the day, I would stay up and watch TV till 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I would see, like, those infomercials, and I'm like, you know what? That doesn't sound half bad. Like, all you need is a gallon of boiling water. And it's like, well, all I need is a gallon of boiling water. And then I could just sit there and just eat my slop for days at end. And
man, I used to love, like, Hamburger Helper and shit like that. Because it was...
Shit, yeah.
It was,
yeah,
exactly big puddle of food. Just like... I love it.
We're big slop guys over here at Reports as Post. We love slop.
Oh, brother. Puddle of food. That's our episode title. Great. A gentleman named Sean Carter posted this to Facebook. It's a picture of an Amazon box sitting on his porch. This package has been sitting outside my house for days now. Why? I'll explain. UPS mistakenly delivered this package to the wrong house. The address on the package is for a house just a block over, so we are waiting for UPS to pick up the package and deliver it to the right house. But Sean, why wouldn't you be a decent person and just take the package to your neighbor?
Hmm.
Or better yet, have one of your teenage sons do it. The answer is because we're black. And it's extremely unsafe to send our boys to the home of any family that we don't know in this predominantly white neighborhood.
Oh my God.
Because there is a realistic chance that one of my neighbors will see my boy as a threat and call the police or pull a gun on him. That is why this fucking package will be sitting on the porch until UPS retrieves it. Because I can't trust my white neighbors that won't see me, a Harvard-educated lawyer, as a roaming homicidal maniac.
Yep, that's a great way to build rapport with your neighbors.
Maybe you should have moved into all these honkies if you're afraid all of them are going to shoot you at any given point.
Good Lord Almighty. Yeah.
Keep in mind that he said there's a realistic chance that this will happen. This is a guy who consumes a little too much media.
Yeah.
I would guess these kids have a better shot at getting struck by lightning than just randomly shot by anyone in the neighborhood.
By taking a 60-yard jaunt over to
and delivering a package to them as if every delivery driver in the neighborhood is not a black person in general.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
They're used to black people dropping stuff at the front door. That's how it works in these neighborhoods. Yeah. It's funny to be that, like, this guy is as terrified as, like, the dumbest white guy being terrified of black people. Like, oh, there's one in the neighborhood. They're coming up. Better hide. And this guy's like the opposite, but in a dumber way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think you're fine, dude. White people in that neighborhood, they love having the token black guy in the neighborhood. Because then they could tell people, like, yeah, I have my black friend Clarence.
That's why I can say it.
And his wonderful, charming boys, well-spoken, these lads, came over, dropped the package off. This is the Get Out, you know, neighborhood. These guys really are is the so get excited to have a black guy come up and give them street cred.
That's so stupid, dude. Again, somebody that's just too tuned in online wants to have something to bitch about. Literally has like probably the perfect life, and this is the only thing that so. The Amazon UPS package, which also UPS delivering Amazon, does that happen?
Yeah, I don't quite get the Amazon thing because I'll see sometimes our mailman will just drop them off.
Yep, sometimes the mailman.
You'll see an Amazon truck. You'll see just a guy in a Civic.
Yeah, a Civic. Yeah, I had that the other day. Some guy in just a Civic just like, fuck it, I'll do it. I don't care. Yeah. Bring me my Nicorette lozenges.
Your what?
Peon. My Nicorette lozenges.
I don't think you can't say that word.
Nicorette?
Oh, I see. I heard a little differently.
You always do.
What would that word represent? Is that so just a young girl?
You know, that's like a, that would be like a Dave Chappelle sketch from like the Chappelle show, like where it's like a guy who can't stop saying the N word. Oh, he's going to use it.
You know what? That probably actually exists now that I think about it.
That is like a straight.
Do you remember the Mad TV one for?
Yes, we've talked about it, the Snickers. The Snickers one? Yeah. I remember because like 9 or 10 people commented on it that they couldn't believe that it existed.
Oh, well. Look it up, folks. Google
on
Mad TV.
On a very similar topic, someone went to Cora to ask, is the Middle Earth TV series going to be woke? Tobias Simcox answered, who cares if this forced diversity breaks lore and isn't true to Tolkien's work? Forced diversity is good. We cannot stand to have a show based on a world that is a precursor of ancient England and Northern Europe, with stories and characters influenced upon North, Germanic, Anglo-Saxon mythology, have only white people in it in 2022. We all know that what makes a story better is injecting woke politics and ensuring the cast meets the diversity quota of a JCPenney catalog. Forced diversity that breaks lore actually adds to the immersion. It's like a cool, fresh, woke, modern twist. Anyone who doesn't agree with me or likes these changes to Tolkien's universe is just a racist.
Yeah. Me thinks this guy's being a little snarky.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a... little bit of a tongue-in-cheek there going on.
If your name is Tobias, you kind of have to be this kind of asshole, right? Like... that your name is set up to be an online asshole. Or just like a really cool black guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tobias. Yeah.
Or,
Hakeem.
Yep, Tobias and Hakeem. Same sort of name, I would say.
Yeah, so the Lord of the Rings series, this was posted well before they actually released anything about it. But now...
have we even talked about that?
I don't think we've talked about
it. Is it out now?
No, it's not out till September.
Oh, really?
No.
Wow.
They just released this week, they just released four weeks ago. When we were recording this episode, the trailer for it. And it looks like any other fantasy series that's been made in the last 10 years. I mean, it does not look like Peter Jackson thing. It doesn't look like anything else. It just looks like, okay, whatever. Looks overproduced, over CGI.
Yeah.
And I think the only black character that I saw in it was the Queen of the Dwarves. And the biggest thing that people have about that is that she doesn't have a beard. They don't care she's black. They're upset she's just not bearded.
She should have a beard. The queens have beards in that show?
Dwarves in Middle Earth have, all dwarves have beards.
Well, see, here's my thought. Like, I understand wanting to... the idea of keeping to the lore is important, but also it doesn't matter if the characters have beards or not. Does that affect anything at all?
It doesn't. Also, it does... I mean, I think that's the thing is, like, the whole, like, big thing about, like, blackwashing or whitewashing a character or whatever it is. It's like, if it works within the continuity, and if it just, like, if the person playing the character is a good actor, like, who cares, I guess.
Theoretically. I mean, it's one thing if it's like, yeah, we made, you know, we made Frodo, you know, a black woman, and then at some point she says, you know, all these white people are keeping me from getting the ring or whatever. It's like, all right, this is a little on the nose.
Well, I think that's the big thing, too, is that this series is, so Christopher Tolkien, J.R.R.'s son.
He just died, right?
He died recently. And when he died, all the rights went to the Tolkien Foundation, who then Amazon immediately went to and was like, hey, we're going to give you X billion dollars. And basically, this is just a story they was made up.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fit into the lore. It's not based on any lore. So at that point, it's just kind of like, you're basically watching fan fiction. So do you care? Really?
It's no different than Disney Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, Disney Star Wars. Exactly. Because, like, I watched the Boba Fett show, and to see, like, the most ruthless bounty hunter in the universe become, like, I'm going to protect Tatooine from a drug cartel. Very stupid.
I still haven't watched that one yet, and it's really enjoyed so Mandalorian. I got to be in the right mood for it.
Man, it's a good show, but the storyline behind it is very stupid. Yeah. And I don't know, man. Like, it's all fan service. It's all fan fiction. It's always all been fan fiction. But,
well, like, once you get into the idea of just, because the thing about Lord of the Rings, Star Wars is, they created these cool worlds, but ultimately what made them important and good is that the stories were good. So you can't just take the universe and make a story in it and it's automatically good.
No.
You still have to make a good fucking story. No. And just because you see, oh, there's a R2-D2 in the background.
There is an episode of the Boba Fett show where it's like R2-D2's in it for like 4 minutes.
Sure.
And it's like, I bet some guys were like just like so excited about that. Also, I have to laugh because the Star Wars thing, especially like all the shows that are based around Star Wars and stuff, everything is coming out. Everything is based on Tatooine, which is like the worst. Like,
it's weird.
Mandalorian, Boba Fett, and now Obi-Wan Kenobi, they're all based on Tatooine, which is like, you have an entire universe to pull from,
yeah.
And you're just going to spend your time on the sand planet with, like, nothing going on. Like, that's your whole, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but it's also, if you, the problem is if you go too far, you just make up your own planet and do all this shit, now you're suddenly, it's no longer Star Wars, you know? Like, how do you know? Because, like, if you go too creative with it, then it's like, so wait, how do I know this is Star Wars? This could just be any sci-fi show.
I guess. So
you kind of have to have
you have to stick to
grounded elements.
What you know, I guess. Yeah, I don't know, man.
And also, it's, you know, Disney's just going to be like, this is what people like, so we'll just give them the same old shit.
And I'll keep eating it up.
Yep, just eating that slop, that puddle of food. With a big ladle down your fucking thirsty little gullet. This is from the subreddit r Berkeley. Is dating like this for other people at Berkeley? So for context, we all know the Bay Area has a high density of overeducated people in it. I used to not care what college someone went to as long as they went to college before talking to them. However, I found that I just can't hold a conversation with a lot of people who went to less selective schools. Outside of their job and their one or two hobbies, they just don't seem to care about anything else. Sure, I'm down to learn more about what you do, but I can really only talk to you about immunotherapy research for a few days without wanting to switch to something else. If I try to talk about other interests or even a layman version of what I do, I get the equivalent of a blank stare in text form. None of my friends from Cal have this issue, and if I talk to girls from here or a more selective school, I find I have a lot more to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm just finding myself on an app thinking this person looks interesting, but if she went to UC Irvine or UCSD, it's not going to be fun talking to them and feeling crappy for judging their intelligence so fast. Has anyone else had the same experience? And this guy pretty much only posts about colleges and Berkeley, specifically on Reddit, including one post where he said he was sad that r Berkeley wasn't the first college-based subreddit because r UCF beat it by a month.
Yeah.
Just like obsessed with
college. Your alma mater, yeah. Like probably missing out on thousands of connections with other people.
Yeah, doesn't actually like cares more about the idea of being in college than what you're supposed to do when being, you're in college.
Caring more about the colleges you're in, the people, yeah, not even the people, just the college itself.
That's
a certain kind of sick. That's a
Yeah, this guy has 16 sweatshirts with Berkeley on them.
Yeah, you know, and we covered this in the Pennsylvania episode, I'm sure.
we sure did.
Penn State has a certain kind of thing where it's even if you didn't go there, but you're just around there, like that's your entire personality. And it's tough for me to track that because... I mean, I went to a college that was not even really a college to begin with, but like to feel like that strongly about like where you're going to school and that it has any sort of impact over making connections with people. Like, I think it's more along the lines that you have problems with making connections to people.
Is Penn State a good school?
Penn State's a very good school. Yeah, okay. They have a lot of programs. They have in all surprisingness, it's a very big agricultural school. A lot of people come from the Midwest to go to school to learn how to be a farmer at Penn State.
Huh.
And the big draw there, of course, is the sports program.
Right.
So, or it used to be. It's gotten a little...
Something happened there.
Something weird happened, and it kind of fell out for a while. Yeah. So Penn State's a good school. It's a great little college town to hang out in. I've probably talked about it on the previous Pennsylvania episode, how I've gotten drunk many times in Penn State. Threw a brick through a window at a fraternity at one point.
Cool.
Would love to go back.
Yeah, just go back and hang out with all those kids.
Yeah, sure. 36 years old, just hanging out.
They'll think you're so cool.
Could probably buy them some beer. Could probably get some sympathy pussy. Nah.
Get some...
That's not going to happen. No.
Yeah, bring them some Bud Light seltzer hard sodas. Which are sitting very rough right now. I am not feeling good. I'm probably going to throw up here pretty soon, so.
This is from our relationship advice.
Couple more posts.
My wife and I have been married for about 3 years, and we were thinking of starting a family. Fertility issues run on both sides of the family, so we were really surprised to find out because we weren't exactly trying. It's one of those, if it happens, it happens type of situations. The baby would have been due in December. My wife is really into astrology and tarot cards and that sort of thing. I know Reddit has this hate boner for astrology up until now. It hasn't been a big deal in our relationship. When we had maybe we should try to have a baby talk, she started to get a little more interested in astrology, which didn't strike me as odd. What struck me as odd was her reaction to finding out. When we talked about having a baby, she was super excited and was pushing for us to get pregnant sooner rather than later, but she seemed kinda scared when we saw the results of the first test. This was in late April. Her parents, who lived 2 hours away, had gotten into a car accident in May and needed help getting around, so she moved in with them for a few weeks. During that time, she barely called or texted me. This isn't completely out of the norm for her, but I felt that she would be communicating more since she was pregnant. At this point, she was showing. She came back 3 days ago, and she looked like she had lost weight. She barely talked to me and looked extremely on edge, so I finally get her to talk. She just blurts out, "I aborted the baby." I was at a loss for words. I was just staring at her as if she was playing some sick joke on me, and she went on to say that she felt that the baby was going to be a Sagittarius, and she didn't feel like her sign, the sun sign, isn't compatible or not a good fit for a mother-child bond. So I screamed at her. I said nasty things. She said nasty things back. She told me that it's her body and her choice, and she's right, but I don't get but don't I get to feel bad too? I'm sleeping on the couch right now and trying to figure out my life from here. Katie 80 replied, I'm confused. Why was she open to having unprotected sex in April if she did not want a Sagittarius baby? This stuff isn't that hard to count out.
That seems like the least of the worries here. This guy's just like, well, look, obviously it's still her choice and I respect. He's like, no, she killed your baby. And I think you should go ahead and feel pretty bad about that. It's a very odd thing to do.
It's not a great thing. I would be pretty off put too if old Priscilla came home and told me she got rid of our kid because of their sun sign or whatever.
And yet I would also be like, yes.
Well, yeah, but you got a full so. Yeah. You got a lot going on,
that
brother.
Happened with my wife now. And she got deeply into astrology and had to kill a baby in the womb because of that. I'd be like, dodged a goddamn bullet. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so 3 years, the married abortion is an odd thing.
That's a weird thing, for sure. The non-discussion married abortion, yeah.
Those probably don't happen a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of one of those without a discussion, for sure. But, yeah, not good. Going home to stay with the parents, and hey, I know you guys was just in a car accident, but I'm also going to go get my uterus scraped out. BRB, real quick.
Just give me a hot minute. One more post here, folks. User Deadly Moogle posted this on r off my chest. I found out my wife has slept with over 30 men in the past 2 years behind my back. Oh, and also she was using methamphetamine the entire time. My heart feels like it's going to pound out of my chest. The stupid whore checked herself into rehab today for a meth addiction she kept hidden. She begged me not to look at her phone while she was in. First thing I did was look at her phone. I feel disgusting and betrayed and honestly hope she fails a rehab and goes to prison because she was caught with 15 grams of meth. She checked into rehab so she wouldn't be arrested right away, but I want her to rot in jail. I devoted 12 years to taking care of this piece of shit, and she's been cheating on me the whole time. I fucking hate her and I want her to go to prison for a long time. She's been using hundreds of dollars a week on meth and lied to me about the money usage. She's ruined me financially and emotionally. I don't know how to get over this. I have all the screenshots saved in my phone of her various Tinder fucks and other affairs and messages where she's telling her best friend that she's only married to me because I have a stable job and own a house, which I bought before we were married.
Right.
I'm calling a lawyer office right away this morning to get a consultation, but I'm worried she's going to get alimony in half my house, which I owned before ever meeting her. And Resident Evil 10 said, I'm sorry for this. Just for the future people out there, this is why you don't get married. Do not trust anyone. Like, for real. There is nothing that can only be done if you are married. There is zero objective benefit to marriage for men. Just don't.
Great advice. Really helps in this situation.
And as someone like you who just went through a divorce with Priscilla, I'm sure you can agree with that.
Oh, with Priscilla. Yeah. Just with Priscilla. Yeah.
That just happened, remember?
Just happened, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, thankfully, you and your lovely bride have taken me in, and I'll be staying here for, I don't know if I'll ever move out, so.
Yeah, until your presence makes us get divorced, certainly.
Yeah, my presence will do that. Okay.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it, folks? Good luck. God bless.